We're in a holy place right now. So this is going to be a truncated message, but powerful. Not because I'm up here, but because the Holy Spirit entered the room in a way that we've not seen in a while, or maybe ever. So much so that the Lord told me to take my shoes off because we're on holy ground right now. Let's pray. Father, forgive us, Lord, for so long we have not known what we were doing. Things that we were putting in front of you to dull down the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye and the move of the Holy Spirit. The world in the 60s and 70s tried to get to the place of an encounter with God through drugs, to LSD. It was an imitation of the place that you want to take us. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear where we are in history right now. This unprecedented move of God that has been brewing since the foundation of the world, before we were in our mother's womb, before Adam and Eve were formed from the dust of the ground, and you breathed the breath, the ruach, the life into them. You already knew our day. You already knew what we were going to walk in. You already knew what it cost your son, Jesus. You already knew about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that later waned, only to become the beginning of a model of what we're about to see. We're about to walk into the third wave of this move of the Spirit this summer. And as we walk into this, or surf into it, rather, that we be in that sweet spot of your Spirit, that the curl would be over us and we'd be reaching out and touching the power of the living God that's flowing through us to ride the wave of the Spirit. The seven waves I saw 7 or 8 years ago, I can't even remember how long, Lord, but we're walking into that season. We're walking into this season where you said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Lord, that started with them being in one place and in one accord. That started with them being united under you. There was no offense. And they moved as one man. All the fullness, and why marriage is so sacred, is that when we move together as one man, That is a man and a woman, but they become one. Lord, you want your bride to be one. You said, I would that they would be one, Father, as you and I are one. You want us to move as one unit, as New Covenant, as the church in Manassas and Prince William County and the greater D.C. area. One. One. One in you, Lord. No division. Father, let it be in our day. So I enlisted intercessors all over the United States this weekend to pray for today. Also went to a campground up in Falling Waters, West Virginia, to pray for someone who has ALS. I believe we're in the day when the impossible is happening, that we're going to see those like Diana healed and others. I'm going to name all the people. Let's go ahead and roll that clip when you have it. This is a Mario Murillo crusade. He's sharing what happened to a lady 2 or 3 weeks ago. He preached at the Maybe Center, and 3,000 people came to Jesus. Those are larger than Billy Graham numbers. And I guarantee you they didn't have 2 years of getting people saved so that they would go forward and do a public profession. It was the power of God. We're in the season of miracles, signs, and wonders. No longer will they have an emaciated Jesus, a little teeny cherub angels, and a Holy Spirit that's a gentleman. He is not a gentleman. He's a rushing, mighty wind. The wind of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were in one place and in one accord. And suddenly, a sound from heaven came as a rushing of a mighty wind. And tongues of fire rested on each one of them. Some of you have put the Holy Spirit in a box. Let him out. Let him worship. The church has left the building. They're going back to places that used to have revival. Mario Murillo said, we're not praying to redig a well. We're praying for a new well. Go ahead and roll that.
We're at the front of the tent, and then he would go outside and orbit the tent and pray for his wife to be healed. When she was also pregnant, and during the pandemic, when the baby was born, they wouldn't let her see the baby. They separated the mother from the infant and quarantined her. So she said, I went through, she didn't want to cuss, so she said H-E-L-L. And then in the third tent crusade, she came in and her arm was folded up. And something happened. So, lest you think I'm making it up, can we run the video right now? For years, you have battled a disease in your body. Nicole, tell the people what you've been through.
I was diagnosed in 2020 with multiple sclerosis. I came to your first tent revival with my arms stuck and I was limping. And it was all very, very, very humbling.
This afternoon, Jesus visited you and told you that every last symptom of this disease. I repeat, multiple sclerosis in the name of Jesus.
We have gone through so much to come because I know that with something that is incurable, there's only one answer, and that's Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I'm holding in my hand a very special piece of paper. It's her doctor's report. This doctor examined you, and the only thing he could say is, you have shown a remarkable improvement since the 10th. And then he said, you are off all your medication. But you know that you are completely healed. Now, if you can't shout, I don't know what I'm going to... Everybody, get up. Get up and shout. To God be the glory. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Nobody else. You know, I'm going to tell you something.
This just happened. This is not 1940. In fact, he gave a story about how they had invited him as a 19-year-old to preach, and they thought they were getting more Sorella. And they said, do you pray for people to be healed? No. He said, do you do signs and wonders? He said, no. They said, well, there are 3,000 people showing up that think that you do. And something happened with Mario Morello between the time he said no and he stepped on the stage and somebody came down and gave a testimony that God had completely healed them. And it was an elder in the church that they'd been praying for 40 years. Now, that was when he was 19. He's not 19, as you can tell. We're in a season. So I want to be very succinct. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. And we're just going to start in verse 1. After the death of Moses. Can you say that with me? The death of Moses. The servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. I think it's interesting that his name is son of Nun. No. In many ways. N-O-N-E or N-U-N. God has a sense of humor sometimes, I think. Moses' aid. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit a land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, and you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of this law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As I was with my servant Moses, several years ago, Bob Perry came here, we thought, to deliver a message. He brought prophetic people, some from Richmond, and one that was a son of New Covenant. He was very clear in his word. I thought he misspoke. He said, New Covenant is about to see a changing of the garbs, not guards, which is what I thought he meant. I asked him later. He said, no. He said, the changing of the garbs. But not too much later, Robin had an experience with the Holy Spirit in his room. He called it a cool anointing. He said, behold, I'm about to do a new thing. And Robin was very clear, it's going to be new. We're not going to redig the well of Robin and Bob Yarborough. He said it's going to be something different. He described the move that they were in as grabbing onto a freight train and trying to hang on. A lot of things happened after that. We had six anointings, and for some reason we couldn't get the seventh. We even tried to guess at it. Then Robin started saying about 2 months before he passed, death is not the worst thing that could happen to a believer. Over and over, and I wanted to say, shut up! Because I kept hearing, Robin's not going to be here much longer. Get ready. Robin's not going to be here much longer. Get ready. Robin didn't die of COVID. He gave up the ghost. Some have been offended because Robin died. Some have left New Covenant and not come back because Robin passed away. But Robin didn't die. He's at the right hand of the Father, right next to Jesus, right next to Sandy, right next to Diana, right next to Joe, right next to you just name it. There's a great cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on. He saw that before he died. He saw that great cloud of witnesses in heaven cheering us on. So, as Forrest Gump would say, I'm not a smart man, but I do see when God's moving very distinctly, and I do know what love is, and he loves you all with an everlasting love, and what he spoke to me earlier. Now, Mario Morello and their crowd, they're like, oh, we offended this person, we offended that person. My intention is not to offend anyone. Their intention is not to offend anyone. The purpose of the gospel is to offend our mind, to reveal our heart, so that we can change, so that he can do whatever he wants through you. And you've been putting on garbs that has your little pet, not sin, a weight that's keeping you back from being the full potential of what God has you to be. And sometimes that weight is an offense. When you're offended, the person that offended you or offended one of your friends and you're offended for your friend gets over it, they're going about their merry way and God's moving in their life and you're stuck wherever your offense is. And God wants us to come to the place, like Liz was, like Stephen was on our silent service, and like some of us have been, where we do face time, where our face is in, not in the face of God, in the face of the carpet, and we become undone. He wants us to the place that we get to the end of ourselves, and we run right into him. There's this, my original message was a juxtaposition of predestination and free will. They both work hand in hand. We're predestined. Really, it's just a pre-God knows everything that's going to happen. But he also knows that we have to respond, and he knows how we're going to respond because he moves in eternity, not time. We move in not knowing. We see through a glass dimly. Even if you're prophetic, you only know part. You only know what he's revealed. The things that are revealed belong to us. The things that are not revealed belong to him. So we don't know exactly when Jesus is coming back because it tells us in Scripture not to set a date or a time. But we can see the signs of the times. And we're in a season. And this season, we either lose the offense, come to the end of ourselves, forget all the things that God, we think, didn't do before. Let that offense go and let that go. And start living what we know the Word says. And moving as one man. And when I say man, we are mankind. That means man and woman together. I'm not even going to joke about the way they put it today. But when we say man, we move as one person, one being filled with the Holy Spirit. Steve Gray, not the one that's here, from the Cornfield Revival, said they do nothing in their church, and they had a sustained revival. It may still be going on now. He went to Brownsville, nothing happened. They had about 400 people in a church in the middle of nowhere. And he went there and he kept just asking God, pour out your spirit. Nothing happened at Brownsville. Meanwhile, back in the cornfield, they were praying for their pastor who was undone. He said he kneeled beside a man. He said he looked like the man that was in the most despair he had ever seen. He said, Lord, I am that man. I don't want to leave here without meeting with you. He left Brownsville, drove home. Meanwhile, they've been praying. He walked in the door, and the roof came off the place, and they're shouting hallelujah already. They don't even know he's walked in the door yet. And what he had been praying for was happening. in the church that he pastored in the middle of nowhere, and it became the Cornfield Revival. But he said this. He said, we learned the power of awe. They were in one place, in one accord. And that's not a little car that they make in Japan. They were all together. They got rid of their offense. If you're offended, Moses said, Joshua, God said to Joshua, don't let this word, meditate on it day and night. Don't let it get away from your mouth. Don't let it get away from your spirit. The word says, if you're offended, go to that person. If you're not going to that person, guess what? You're in disobedience. You're also in offense, and you can't move on from there. We're in a season of becoming undone. Everyone that I know that's moving in the power of the Holy Spirit has had major, major, major obstacles to get to that place. James and Julianne were just ordained last weekend at Glasgow Farms down in Fredericksburg, and I might have messed up the name, but anyway. A week ago Thursday, we're talking on the, we're texting back and forth, and all hell was breaking loose in their house. They were both sick. She had been to the hospital 2 or 3 times, and the Lord said, okay, time to go to war. I'm supposed to be working for Liberty Mutual. If you hear this, Liberty Mutual, I was still working. But for about 6 or 8 hours, all we did was text back and forth, and I was sending scripture after scripture after scripture. God's for you. He's not against you. He's your healer. He will heal all your diseases. Everything that could go wrong with the venue was going wrong. But when we got there, Holy Spirit showed up. And Amy from Love Revival came and gave it. She said, I've got to have Amy from Love Revival. Now, she had many people. Man, I just can't believe who was there at her ordination. She can't either. And it just, Lorraine and Jeremy catered the thing. And it just, the Spirit of God came. And there were words from the Lord. And it was as near to perfect as anything I could ever see. The week before, 3 of my friends were ordained down at Love Revival that are separate friends outside of Love Revival. I'm telling you, we're in a season where God is changing the garbs. And if you're stuck where you are and you're not willing for the garb to change, you're going to miss what's next. You know, like the lady that was sitting there with the fork. She dies and she's in the coffin and they have a fork there. And everybody goes by and they're wondering why there's a fork. So they write it out. And she said, because at the end of a meal they say, save your fork. Because the best is yet to come. So some of you probably wonder why I have this box up here. It's funny. Yeah. So here's the box. Now, I could say there's a fan in here because I had a, while I'm praying for Julianne and James and my friends down in the Grays, Steve Gray's nephew and niece, And my friend Bill, who's an intercessor, prophetic person, I had a flood in my basement. So I bought a whistle flange. So this could be about how God's going to blow you away, but it's not. How many of these do you see in a sermon? I've been carrying this since I was, not this particular one, since I was 5 years old. My grandfather, I cut the side of my finger off the first year. My grandfather wrapped it and said, "You'll live." So I want to show you, this is a boxing glove. Be strong and courageous. Some of you have been boxing with this glove. This is a little bit bigger than what Jeremiah would wear. The problem is he's changing your garbs. He wants you to box with this. This is what a man or a woman boxes with. And we got women boxers now and women MMA fighters now. He said, be strong and courageous. Because you're just going to stand here and do nothing. No. He said, there's a fight before you. I'm going to fight your battle. But you got to put on the gloves. And you got to be willing to fight this fight. You got to be willing to say, oh, God, quit saying God's sovereign. He's just going to do whatever he's going to do. No. That's not scripture. It's the great commission. He said, these signs will follow them. But first he said, go make disciples. Preach the gospel. And the signs will follow. It requires us to push past what the enemy's throwing at us. They usually sent the praise and worship out first. Or like the next thing that we see not too far from here is they march around this city 7 times. And I don't think it was to loosen the ground for some natural thing to happen like I've seen in books where they say, yeah, this is what happened. No, come on. The walls just basically went into the ground. It's like an earthquake swallowed them up like God had sinkholes all around that city, and they walked in and took the spoils. There's places in Scripture that they began to worship. Worship is our... And praise is what? We have to get to the place that we see things as though they are, though they're not, and keep pushing. Pray until something happens. Now, you have to have a word from the Lord. Some people call that a rhema word. It could be just standing on scripture. However you want to present that. But once you hear from heaven, continue to pray. Pray until something happens. And it's called the push. And I'm going to ask our pastors to come up here. We're going to do something else. Because when Robin left here, it was not his prayer that we fall apart. That New Covenant fizzles away. And wives. And if you need to bring chairs or whatever. There's a saying and things like whether, and I was a boxer. My kids both did Taekwondo. We've got several guys here that are proficient in martial arts. But it's also in racing. It's run what you brung. In other words, when you get to the battle, it may not look like you got all the weapons you need, but you're going to run what you have. And when you're in a race, you don't drive to, we have this thing at Liberty Mutual called, it's Right Track. Jeremy has something at work called Drivosity. They want to know how easy you get on the throttle and how easy you get on the brake. And they have all these different things. Now, Jeremy, his driving has improved, and he gets 100%. He has the highest Drivosity score in Papa John's. But in the church, whether it's a drag race, whether it's a Daytona 500, they are not putting a little chip in their car to see how slow they can go and how easy they can go. And sometimes the jalopy that somebody built in their garage beats the Ferrari and the Lamborghini and all the other things because it was put together by somebody. If you've never seen it, there's a movie called The World's Fastest Indian. It's Anthony Hopkins. And he takes a 1922 Indian and he goes to the Minnesota Salt Flats. He has this thing put together on a shoestring, but it goes over 200 miles an hour. It sets a land speed record. Things are not always as they appear. And I believe that we're changing the garbs. But I don't think we've fully changed the garbs here at New Covenant. We've got to move together. You can't have your pet pastor. I'm sorry. We all agree on everything. We haven't always all agreed on everything. But we are now all in agreement. We were in agreement to do the message first. So, I want to officially say we're changing the garbs and we're standing in the presence of God. We're going to run with what we have. If God wants to change things, but we need to move as a unit, as a church. That's what they learned in the Cornfield Revival. And they just learned it from the first century church at the very beginning. They were in one place in one accord, and they stayed there. They met from house to house, and no one had any need because they gave liberally. Now, there were times when the orphans and the widows, they had certain things, but they dealt with that, and we do that. We agree on things. We pray. We intercede. We don't make any decisions without hearing from the Lord. And so, how do you guys want to proceed? Do we want to do communion first? Okay.